Hello, this is the Rob Caudill Show. I'm your host, Rob Caudill, and today I'm back in my study in Romans. I'm going to be working through chapter 2 in the next couple of days. We're going to start in verses 1 through 5, and we're talking about the judgment of the self-righteous. And really what it boils down to is the self-righteous is someone who's judging others that are while they're practicing the same sins. They're going to face the same judgment they impose on others. And I'd like to give you a more in-depth definition. So that term self-righteousness, it's describing a person who has an excessive sense of their own righteousness and moral superiority over others. It's not simply a pride or arrogance issue, but it goes even further than that. It's a belief that one is better than others because of one's religious or moral achievements. So the purpose of today's podcast is to bring to light the dangers of self-righteousness, and warn those who judge others of the judgment that awaits them. And so we're going to look at the text of Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges. For in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." So Paul is showing us a rebuke. He's giving the self-righteous person a rebuke, and he's exposing their hypocrisy. He's telling them there's no excuse for this behavior. There's no excuse for this judgment of other people because you're doing the same thing. You're practicing the same sins. And he warns them that they're not going to escape the judgment of God and that their self-righteousness is actually storing up wrath for themselves. The text is clearly warning against the dangers of self-righteous judgment, and it serves as a call for us to repent and to be humble. Even as Christians, we can be self-righteous, and even though we can't lose our salvation, we cannot escape the consequences of hurting our testimony. Because the fact of the matter is, we can say, don't do this, don't do that, don't tell a lie, don't steal, don't be immoral. But there are Christians that have fell to these sins. And as a result, they're being self-righteous in their words, but they're just as guilty as everyone else. And so we don't want that to be said of us who are born again and have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And quite frankly, if we are born again, our goal is to run from those things, flee those things, and not only condemn the behavior, but we ourselves distance ourselves from those things, and then we need to be humble and repentant when we do fall. So, looking at the self-righteous judge, what they do is they judge other people. Verse 1, once again, it says, I'm going to read a different translation. "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things." This verse is stating that those who judge others are guilty of the same things they are judging. That Greek word judgest means to pass judgment or make a verdict, and it refers to the self-righteous who judge others while ignoring their own faults. Examples of self-righteous judgment include judging others based on their appearance, maybe their social status, the different belief system, and political beliefs. And right now, it's really difficult in the scheme of the world we're living in right now to be loving to people who vote differently than we do. I am staunchly pro-life, anti-abortion, and without shame, without regret, because I know that the Lord does not believe in the shedding of an innocent blood, and He also believes as the one who's established what marriage is and what sex should be. I know that I'm taking a firm stance on this, but where I have to be careful and where the rest of us have to be careful as Christians is we're ultimately trying to reach these folks and speak the truth in love. If we come across as judgmental and bash people over the head with these things, they're only going to just become more of our enemies. So that's One way I think Christians suffer is their attitude on how they handle these issues. I believe we stand firm, but in standing firm, we're still speaking the truth in love. And what the self-righteous will often do is they'll use their standards to elevate themselves above others and to justify their condemnation of those who don't meet those standards. So this kind of judgment is inconsistent with what Jesus said. He taught us to love our neighbors as ourselves and to not judge others. And you see that in Matthew 7, Matthew 22, Luke chapter 6. The self-righteous essentially are like the Pharisees in Jesus' day who were quick to judge others while ignoring their own sins. And so we see that the self-righteous are guilty of the same things they judge in others. And they're going to face the same judgment they impose on others. And the only way to escape this judgment is to humble ourselves before God, confess our sins, and trust in the mercy of Jesus Christ. And so once you're saved, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is, you know, being humble and extending grace to others. Because grace has been extended to us, and we need to avoid that trap of self-righteous judgment. Third thing we see is the self-righteous practice the same sins as others. Verses 2 through 3 tells us that we see that the self-righteous are not only quick to judge others, but also practice the same sins that they judge. This is the ultimate hypocrisy. They claim to be righteous and condemn others for the same actions they commit themselves. The self-righteous will believe that they are above reproach, but in all actuality, they are just as flawed and in need of salvation as everyone else. Their judgment is not only baseless, but it also reveals the depth of their pride and self-deception. And so Paul's telling us that God's judgment will be impartial. It'll be based on truth. It will reveal the hearts of all people, including the self-righteous. The self-righteous are going to be held accountable for their actions, just as they have held others accountable. And this truth should serve as a sobering reminder that no one is above God's judgment, and we should all strive to live humble and repentant lives. So the self-righteous, they're guilty of the ultimate hypocrisy. They judge others while practicing the same sins. Their judgment has no base. It reveals their pride and deception. And the opposite should be true of us. We are to live lives of humility, of repentance, and recognizing that we're all in need of God's mercy and grace. The fourth thing we see is the self-righteous, they face the same judgment they impose on others. Verse 4, it says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance?" Paul's telling us that the self-righteous who judge others for their sins, they practice the same things themselves. And the implications of the judgment they're going to face, it's severe. And the implications should not be taken lightly. If you're judging others, you're going to face the same judgment they're imposing. That means their own faults will be revealed, and they will be held accountable for their actions. They will receive the same treatment they gave to other people. That's a warning to all who think they're better than others and judge themselves and judge them harshly. The self-righteous person may think they're immune to judgment because of their good deeds or their religious practices, but God is not impressed by external acts of righteousness, but by a humble and contrite heart. And true humility, true contriteness, only comes from the Holy Spirit. He's generating that and working that within, and then it manifests itself outwardly for the humble and faithful Christian. And so the danger of self-righteousness is that it blinds one to their own sin, and it leads to this false sense of security. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people like that who claim to be Christians, who claim to be doing good deeds, and what ends up happening is they have this false sense of security, and they're going to end up going to hell just like the person that they're condemning, because they were resting on their self-righteousness and not in the righteousness of Christ. And that can be demonstrated in the fruit outwardly of their lives, but it's also got something to do with their own heart. They have not been regenerated. So we need to examine our hearts. We need to confess our sins. We need to make sure we're taking care of our sins before we even say anything to anyone else. And when we do, we need to make sure we're doing it in humility and in love. We have to repent of our self-righteousness. We're all guilty of it. We need to humble ourselves and submit to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only then will we be able to experience the forgiveness and grace of God. And as Christians, we're being transformed into his likeness. He's changing us. I can't think of a bigger slap in the face to the one who showed us grace than going and acting this way in this self-righteous manner. So we need to remember that it's only by the grace of God that we're saved and that we're no better than others. And then we also need to consider the danger of self-righteousness. how it impacts, and this is, you know, we've got a spiritual perspective, which I think we've covered, but let's talk about how it affects us personally with the people around us. It impacts our relationships. We miss opportunities to grow and to change. And so we're going to talk about right now the dangers of self-righteousness that we see in verses 1 through 5, the impact self-righteousness can have on relationships. It breeds an attitude of superiority where you look down on other people and judge them for their shortcomings. And this is harmful because it causes us, when we act this way, to become isolated from those around us. And it can also create division within our friends, our families, our churches, our communities. When we become self-righteous, we are no longer able to see the humanity in others. Instead, we see them only as objects of judgment. And that leads to a breakdown in relationships. It can cause us to miss out on the blessings that come from love, from friendship, and community. But it's not just harmful to our relationships. We can miss out on opportunities for growth and change. When we are self-righteous, we are not open to receiving correction or learning from others. We believe that we have nothing left to learn and that we are beyond reproach. And that can lead to stagnation. It can lead to a failure to mature in our faith. And we need to be humble enough to receive criticism, and we need to be willing to make changes in our lives. So just some things to think about as we close. Self-righteousness is a dangerous trap. It can cause us to miss out on the blessings of relationship and growth. We need to strive to be humble. We need to recognize that we all have much to learn from one another, and we need to be quick to forgive and to extend grace, because that's the same thing that the Lord Jesus did to us. He forgave us and gave us grace. And so if you're guilty of this, if you've been through this as a Christian, I'd encourage you. We're supposed to have a daily practice of repentance anyway. So we need to repent. We need to consider our ways. We need to turn from that self-righteous attitude. We need to recognize that the judgment of God is sure, and maybe it's not for us as Christians. We know for certain that we are, nothing can separate us from the love of God, but if we have this attitude, we're going to miss out on opportunities to serve and to grow and to enjoy fellowship because of how self-righteousness impacts our relationships, not just with each other, but even with God. It's an obstruction to our fellowship with Him. It's imperative for, if you're an unbeliever, you need to humble yourselves. You need to confess that you're a sinner, that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross and rose again, and you need to call out to Him to save you. And you need to stop trying to justify yourself by pointing out how good you are and pointing out the faults of others. You need to turn to God into repentance and seek His mercy and grace. And so that ultimately leads us to an encouragement, the need to strive for humility. We need to cultivate humility in our hearts, recognizing that we're all fallen, that we all need a Savior, that we all need to grow in our humility, that our hearts are transformed and our attitudes towards others are going to change when we see others as fellow sinners rather than objects of judgment. That's what we need to do. So just a final thought, we need to pray that the Lord will grant us a humble heart, that we may turn from our self-righteous ways and find forgiveness and grace in the Lord. And we also need to pray for those who are still trapped in self-righteousness, that the Lord would open their eyes and He would lead them to repentance, and that we would give Him glory in all we do, and that His grace and mercy would be upon us. So let's have a word of prayer as we close, and that'll be the end of the show. Heavenly Father, we come to You today with humble hearts, acknowledging our tendency to judge others and practice the same sins. At this moment, Lord, even myself, I confess my self-righteous attitude is sinful when it happens, and I pray, Lord, that You would forgive me for that. Give me the strength to turn from that and to strive to be humble. Help me to recognize that I am in need of Your grace and mercy constantly. And for those listening, I pray the same for them as well, if they struggle in this area. And Lord, help us to have the wisdom to see others as sinners that need Your grace, and help us as Your children to extend that grace, that love, that compassion to those around us. And may we grow in our relationship with You, and may we be transformed continue to be transformed in the likeness of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And we ask You all these things in His name. Amen. Well, I thank you all again for tuning in to the Rob Caudill Show. We'll see you next time.